Hey, Redemption family, thank you so much for joining us today. If we haven't met yet, my name is Michael. I'm one of the pastors here at Redemption Church, and we are so thankful that you have joined us online this morning in Snowpocalypse 2026 to start the year. We are so thankful that you're going to be with us today as we worship God together through the preaching of His Word. But before we get into that, we do want to update you on a few things that are happening that we're so excited about here at Redemption, especially next week, next Sunday, February 1st. We've got a lot going on that I want to tell you about. The first thing is, if you're new, we are going to be hosting Starting Point. If you've been coming around for a little bit and you're wondering, hey, what's my next step here? I'm ready to get plugged in. I want to learn more about groups, about serving, about what our church believes. Then Starting Point is that perfect next step for you. It'll take place right after our Sunday service, the 10 a.m. service. Right afterward, we'll have Starting Point. We have free childcare. We have a free lunch for you as well. And so we want to encourage you to go to our website to be able to sign up for that event, to be able to help us out with food. It's going to be a great time. You're going to meet staff and our pastors as well. So we encourage you, hey, check that out if you're ready to get plugged in here. The second thing I want to tell you about is that we have Regroup going on right now. Regroup is all about regrouping for community, getting reconnected to community here at Redemption Church. Community groups are starting the first week of February, and they meet in homes throughout our city. We want to encourage you to get connected to a community group if you have not done so already. This is the perfect time to be able to find one that works for you and your schedule. So make sure to go to our website, redemptionroanoke.com/groups, to be able to find groups online and to be able to sign up there. The leader will reach out to you with the time and more information about that group. This is a great chance for you to get plugged in to community here at Redemption Church. And then another thing that's happening next Sunday is our student ministry is starting back up. We are so excited for this. Our middle school and high school students, if you know of middle and high school students, or if you are one, we'd love for you to be at this event or tell somebody about this event that's coming up next Sunday, February 1st at 4:30, and then all the Sundays following as well. We would love for you to be able to come to that, and it's going to be a great time as we connect with these students, middle and high school as well, to open up God's Word, to have some fun with games, hang out together. Make sure that you're a part of that event next Sunday at 4:30. Let us know if you have any questions. And lastly, baptisms. Next Sunday, we are going to be celebrating baptisms together. We have people already signed up for that, and we would love for you to be a part of that as well. If you are considering baptism, if you know that's your next step in your walk of Jesus, we'd love to have a conversation with you about that. You can go to our website again, redemptionroanoke.com/baptism, and sign up a form. One of our staff will follow up with you and give you next steps and talk to you more about that decision. Make sure you do that if you're interested in doing that as well. And we are excited to be able to celebrate those as we gather back next Sunday. And lastly, the last thing that I have for you today is I just want to encourage you, hey, even though we are not meeting in person today, we still have costs that are associated with doing ministry, right? We're shooting this video. We still have life change that's happening at our church. And I want to encourage you, don't forget to continue to give to God's mission, because it truly is your generosity that fuels God's mission here at Redemption Church. You can do that by scanning the QR code that's on the screen or going to our website to be able to give online. Or as we gather next week in person, you can give, of course, in person again. And so, church, we love you. Again, we hope that you are safe wherever you are and warm. Let us know if you have any needs going on right now. We love you guys, and we hope to see you again soon.
Hey, Redemption Church, I hope you guys are enjoying this snowy day. We still wanted to get together and get into God's Word for just a little bit today, so that's what we're going to do. But if you're new and joining us online, my name is Carter, and I'm one of the pastors here, and I just want to say a special welcome to you. I'm glad you're listening to this or watching this today with us. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 5 through 10. If you want to turn there or find it on your Bible app, I'll have it on the screen here so you can follow along as well if you're watching this. And we were going to hit Hebrews chapter 3 today and talk about what obedience to God actually means and what that looks like in our life, but we're going to punt that to next week. We'll get there next week. Today, though, I thought it might be fun if we just covered something from chapter 2 that we didn't have a chance to talk about very deeply last week. We had to move past it very quickly, and it's talking about angels, and here's a big theological word, eschatology, which just means the study of the end times or God's future plan for humanity. So we're going to be talking about these things, and we're going to go deep, but talking about angels and eschatology will show us something really important. It'll show us that Jesus is better. That's going to be the main point for today if you like to take notes. That's the overarching idea behind all of this. Jesus is better. The author of Hebrews says that Jesus is greater than the angels, and he's central to God's plan to right all the wrongs that we see in the world, including the wrongs that we find in our own hearts. And he goes on to say that Jesus is not only better than the angels, but he's better than Abraham and Moses, and he's better than all of the Old Testament prophets, and he's certainly better than any of us. And he's so much better than anyone or anything else that when we trust in him, he brings us into his betterness with him. So when eternity comes, as it's sure to do for all of us, he'll make us like Jesus, glorified rulers who care for God's creation, heirs to God's kingdom in his presence with him forever. So let's just take a few minutes to talk about all of that. We're going to look at verses 5 through 10 together here from chapter 2. You can read this with me. This is what it says. And furthermore, it's not angels who will control the future world that we're talking about. For in one place, the scriptures say, what are mere mortals that you should think about them, or a son of man that you should care for him? Yet for a little while, you made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them authority over all things. Now, when it says all things, it means nothing is left out. But we have not yet seen all things put under their authority. What we do see is Jesus, who for a little while was given a position a little lower than the angels. And because he suffered death for us, he is now crowned with glory and honor. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory, and we'll stop right there. Man, angels and really just spiritual things in general seem to dominate people's curiosity nowadays, don't they? But angels in particular feel powerful and mysterious and otherworldly. You know, many people seem to assume that if something is spiritual, then angels or demons must be central to that somehow. That's how we get the idea that demons are under every bush, and they're the thing that causes you to stub your toe and all of that. And, you know, we have angels that protect us, and they're guardian angels and everything like that. And while the Bible never says angels aren't important, it consistently says they're not central to God's future for creation. They're not the heirs to his kingdom. So if angels aren't the heirs, then who is? Well, what it says here is angels are servants, but humans are heirs. Angels are involved in God's plan, but they're not the heirs of God's promises. You know, think about the difference between somebody who works as a servant in a home and someone who belongs to the family in the home. Draw on your Downton Abbey knowledge for this kind of thing, right? You just think a servant may have access, or they may have a responsibility, a lot of responsibility, or they may even be trusted. But when it comes to having the will read and gaining the inheritance, the servant doesn't get the house or the fortune. The child does. Angels serve faithfully in God's house, but Jesus didn't die to make us servants. He died to make us his sons and his daughters, his children. And that's why Hebrews says the future world isn't subjected to angels. It's reserved for the family, the heirs. When the Bible talks about angels, it actually describes them as these created spiritual beings whose role is to serve God and carry out his purposes in the world. In the New Testament, the word translated angel comes from the Greek word angelos, which simply means one who is sent, or really maybe messenger. The same word can even refer to human messengers, depending on the context in which it's used, which kind of tells us that angel describes a function, not a divine status. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word malak carries the same meaning. And throughout Scripture, angels appear delivering God's word and carrying out his commands, but never speaking on their own authority. Hebrews describes them in chapter 1 very clearly as ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation. That's the idea. While Scripture also mentions other heavenly beings like seraphim who are associated with worship and God's holiness, and cherubim who guard the sacred places of God, man, the consistent picture is that angels are, yes, powerful and real, but they're servants in God's house, not heirs of God's kingdom. They serve the kingdom, they don't inherit it. That's the idea. And where it says humans were made a little lower than the angels here in verse 7, lower is just a condition, as in like physical or mortal within a fallen world, not lower in worth or value or position. Here's the best way that you can think about it. We were made lower than angels in condition, but higher in calling. Yeah, we're lower in a broken condition, yet we're crowned with glory and honor and entrusted with dominion over creation for all eternity to be like God. What that means is we're to bear his image in the world and to be like him as his representatives to all of creation. Angels only serve the creation. Humans were made to steward and inherit it. What's that going to look like? Well, we've only scratched the surface of this topic before. The Christian hope of heaven is not an eternal, disembodied, spiritual existence where we just float away from earth on clouds and play harps, you know? The Bible presents heaven as a physical, renewed, and embodied life with God, rooted in the resurrection of Jesus first, who came first, and then our resurrection second. But the Bible consistently teaches that God's plan isn't to abandon creation, but to redeem it, culminating in a new heavens and a new earth where God dwells with his people forever, according to Revelation 21. Now, our future bodies will be like Jesus' resurrection body, the Bible tells us. It's going to be real and recognizable and physical, but glorified. And not less human, but fully human, as God actually intended it to be, starting in the garden, and as it was culminated and fulfilled in Jesus himself, in his resurrection body. This is why the resurrection of Jesus matters so much to us. It's the template for our future. As Randy Alcorn helpfully explains in his book, Heaven, the renewed earth is not the shadow of heaven, but the substance of it, more real, more alive, and more whole than anything that we experience now. The Christian hope, then, is not to escape this world, but to actually reign over it with Jesus after it's been restored and redeemed. We'll do so as redeemed heirs ourselves who finally live out the glory that God designed us for from the beginning. But this is why Hebrews keeps saying Jesus is better, because he's the one that makes all that possible. Now, we do see a problem here, though. As beautiful as the future is for us in this way, Hebrews is honest enough to admit something that we all feel very clearly. The author says in verse 8, "At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them." You know, our translation said, "under their authority." Right? And something's happening here. What's going on? Is God slow? Is he absent? Is he less powerful than we thought he was? Why haven't we seen that happen yet? It's none of those things. That's not it. God is patient. That's why. 2 Peter 3 tells us that God is patient. He wants that none should perish, but all to come to repentance. So he's patiently waiting so that he could save as many as possible who would believe. And this waiting now is the tension of the Christian life. Heirs wait with hope before they live in fulfillment. And that's really challenging because already the inheritance is secured through Jesus, but not yet is the inheritance fully realized. You know, many theologians refer to this as the already but not yet nature of God's kingdom. We live between the times, so to speak. You know, Jesus came once to restore us and to redeem us, but that's not fulfilled yet. And so he's coming again to fulfill it and bring the kingdom into the world with him. We're between those two times. It's a sure thing that he purchased it with his death and his resurrection, but we have to wait for it so it's not yet come to fruition. Man, imagine being told that you've been named in a rich uncle's will for his inheritance or something like that. And you go and you sign all the paperwork and the decision is final. Man, your future inheritance is secure, but the date hasn't come for you to receive it yet. There's a waiting period, the forms have to go through, whatever the case is, the inheritance hasn't hit the bank account. Okay, well, nothing about that waiting changes the reality that the inheritance is now yours. It is a sure thing, but you do have to wait. You have hope right now that it's coming in the future, and that's the Christian life. The inheritance is secure, yes. It's been purchased already, The glory is promised to us, but we're living in the waiting period. We have to wait for the paperwork to go through, so to speak. And Hebrews says the reason that we can wait with hope is because we already see Jesus crowned with glory. So when life feels unfinished and broken for us, or it feels unfair or frustrating, it doesn't mean that God's failed, doesn't mean he's not powerful enough, doesn't mean any of those things. We're not forgotten. It just means we're living in the not yet moment. And it's not the end of the story. It's really just the beginning of a new one that he's creating for us for all eternity. We have hope for the not yet because we know what Jesus has already done for us. And that's why verses 9 and 10 brings us home. I'll read them again. What we do see is Jesus, who for a little while was given a position a little lower than the angels. And because he suffered death for us, he's now crowned with glory and honor. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. Man, we may not be able to see heaven just yet, but we do see Jesus and what he's already done for us. This is why Hebrews keeps saying it over and over again. Jesus is better. Jesus became lower than the angels. He entered our suffering and took on the death that we deserve in our place. And then he rose, crowned with glory and honor, so that one day we can rise and be crowned with glory and honor with him, alongside of him, as his co-heirs over creation. Here's the point that you can write down if you're taking notes. The already of our salvation, it's not in us. It's secure in Jesus. He's the one that secures it for us. Man, that's the beauty of the gospel that we believe, and that's the hope that we have for eternity. He's the one that secures us, secures us in him. We don't secure ourselves. We can't secure our own eternity. And see, you know, I titled this message, What About Angels? Because it's like, what about angels? Angels are just servants. It's not that they're not important or not powerful, but they're servants. Humans are heirs, but only because Jesus became our substitute for us and gave us his own sonship. He was the perfect servant, and he gave us his own inheritance. Jesus didn't come to make us spiritual observers. He came to bring us into God's family with him. So listen, angels serve God and his kingdom. Jesus secures God's kingdom for us. And by his grace, we'll inherit God's kingdom. That's the summary here of what we've learned. Listen, next week in chapter 3, we're going to see another warning for us from the author of Hebrews. But this time, it's not just drifting in our faith, but the warning is not to harden our hearts toward God. Because failing to listen to him is disobedience. We'll see that very clearly. And listen, if Jesus is really better, as we've talked about today from this part of Hebrews chapter 2, if he really has secured our future glory with him, then listening to him isn't just, it's not some kind of loss. It's not foolishness. It's not meaningless. It's preparation for eternal glory. Because when the one who secured your eternal inheritance speaks, the man ignoring him isn't just disobedience, although we'll see that it is from chapter 3, but it's actually walking away from your eternal future in glory. Let me pray. God, thank you for what Jesus has done for us. I pray that you would get these truths deep down into our hearts, that Jesus is better for us, God. He's better than the angels. He's better than the prophets. He's better than money and family and anything else in this world that offers us things that only you can give us. Jesus is better. Help us to believe that today. And so help us trust you in all the circumstances that we face. We know that Jesus was sent into the world for us to make us heirs. And so God, I pray that we'll live into that identity today. We really need you to come into our hearts and convince us of that and change us. Let your kingdom come quickly as well, God. We see that you tell us to pray that way. So we ask that your kingdom would come, but we know that you're patiently waiting so that all who will believe will do that. God, I pray that we'll be a part of your mission with you to see people come into your kingdom. Please give us the desire to see people come into the kingdom. God, give us that passion in our hearts to see people get saved. And God, bless our church this week as we're scattered throughout the city because of the weather. And God, I pray that you'll keep us safe in those ways that we need. But I pray that we'll rest and that we'll really rely on you for peace and satisfaction and meaning in our lives. God, thank you so much that we got into this together today. I pray that you'll bless it, use it in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all enjoy the week and be safe. Love y'all.
Thanks so much for listening with us today. We hope that it was an encouragement to you. But you know, we don't see this as a replacement for gathering with other believers in a local church context. So if you don't have a local church, we would encourage you to plug in with one wherever you are. And if you're in Roanoke, Virginia, we'd love to invite you to plug in with us here at Redemption Church. And you're welcome anytime to gather with us. But you can check us out online at our website, redemptionroanoke.com. You can look for other content or resources there. But thanks again for listening.